everybody. I'm Allene Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. In today's podcast, we are sharing an episode from our most popular treasured devotion series called Godly Girl Power, where we walk through the book of Ephesians to trade our limited self-sufficiency to stand in the strength of God's all-surpassing power. So without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. And if you want to find out more about this series, you can visit www.godlygirlpower.com. Hey there, I'm Allene Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and I want to welcome you to this series called Godly Girl Power on the book of Ephesians. Now, before we even start, I want to give you a definition of what Godly Girl Power is, because the truth is that there's really two kinds of powers. There's worldly power, and then there's godly girl power. So let me read that to you. Godly girl power is God's all-surpassing power. This is different from worldly power. Worldly power is the outward control dependent on other people and things and focuses in on self. Godly girl power is the inner strength of a woman led confidently by God to walk in love and live for His glory no matter what circumstances she faces. Love is the most powerful force, and that is what godly girl power is all about. I want to ask you a question as we begin. Are you ready to trade your self-survival tactics, your self-reliance that leaves you weary and worn out, your depending on other people for their strength and getting hurt and walking through betrayal? Are you ready to let all of that go to rest in God's supernatural power? Well, then this is the study for you. As we begin to talk about this, I've just walked through this incredible, difficult, challenging season in my life. And what I saw was that my old coping mechanisms of self-strength and self-reliance and codependency floated back to the surface. And that reminded me of a ski trip that I was on with my family. Now, on the green slopes, the easy slopes, and the blue slopes, I can pretty much handle those. And I stay true to the form, the good forms of skiing, which allow you to work with the mountain, with the gravity pull of the mountain instead of against it. Now, when I get talked into by my family going on a blue-black slope and things get a little steeper, well, that's a different story. Fear grips my heart because I feel out of control. And I began to fall back on those old tactics that I used as a child to try and stop things. And instead of letting gravity work for me and the power of the mountain work for me, I'm working against it. And sometimes when you and I are not depending on God completely because life has thrown us a curveball or we are experiencing change in every area or every season of motherhood or being a wife or just life in general, or we've just had a lot happen to us recently, fear can grip our hearts. And we can stop depending on God and start depending on our own strength. Now, when I talk about dependency on God, that's how you and I can rest inside of God's power. And the opposite of depending on God is depending on other people and things. And there's actually a term for that called codependency. And that's something that I'm going to want to bring a lot of awareness to throughout this course. Now, you may be thinking, and rightly so, Eileen, codependency is not in the Bible. And you know what? You're exactly right. And I think that as believers, we really do need to be careful because our solution is not self-help. Our solution is sonship. It's something even better. It surpasses self-help, right? But it can be tempting as a Christian to hear maybe a secular term like codependency and then just say, well, that doesn't apply to me. But from a biblical perspective, if you look inside of the Bible, while the word codependency is nowhere present inside of God's word, the word idolatry is. The warning of fear of man is inside of the Bible. So while it may not say it explicitly, codependency is a very real coping mechanism inside of humanity. And it is sin. And it's something that we need to deal with. But oftentimes, codependency or a lack of God dependency is camouflaged inside of the church for the reasons I just talked about. We are afraid of talking about this subject. Or we think because it's mentioned in a self-help book, then we don't address that. And then what happens is that because it's camouflaged, we don't confront it. And what we don't confront can't be conquered, right? What we don't bring to Jesus in repentance. And so inside of this study, I have three main objectives. The first objective is to bring awareness to this issue of idolatry of people or codependency. And by bringing awareness to this, I hope to shed the light for some women out there who are the rescuers and the fixers, and you're following all the rules, but it's just, you know, you're frustrated with life and there's a problem, right? And the reason why I'm passionate about this topic is because for years I struggled with this. And oftentimes inside of a codependence world, you will struggle with this and it will help you for a while. I mean, the self-reliance and all of that, it looks really good from the outside. But then one day life crashes and you don't know what happened or what your issue is, right? That's what happened to me. And it was when I learned about my patterns of control, of self-reliance, and of unhealthy dependence on others that I was able to repent and see the truth. And God set me on this pathway to freedom. All right? So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to bring awareness to this. The second thing that I want to do is I want to give you God's solution for codependency. Now, God's solution to codependency is a revelation of His power in our life. His power in our life, okay? Now, that's going to take some time, but we're going to walk through this step by step by step. And one of the ways that you are going to learn more and discover more and lean in more to God's supernatural power is through studying the entire book of Ephesians. Now, in the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing this letter to the church of Ephesus to encourage them. And he's also talks a lot about that relationship between Jewish and Gentile Christian, and we're definitely going to get into that. He discusses things like the armor of God, but there's another topic that Paul talks about, and that is God's power. Ephesians 3:16 says, "I pray from His glorious, unlimited resources that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit." inner strength. That's what you and I are after. That is literally God's solution to codependency. I want to talk a little bit about codependency and how this all gets formed inside of your life. Oftentimes, when you walk through a traumatic experience, you can decide that you're going to be self-reliant and that you need to get your needs met. And so that self-reliant begins to rely on not only yourself, but it also begins to rely on controlling other people and things to get your needs met. Oftentimes, codependents are severe people pleasers. And then it also looks like perfectionism, being really good on the outside. Because instead of operating from that inner strength, you're looking to external resources to get your needs met. And if I need people to validate me, if I'm looking to people to validate me, for example, then I'm going to be perfect so I can have that, right? Or oftentimes it also revolves around performance, your good works, your good deeds. And that's why codependency is camouflaged inside of the church. One, we're not talking about it, and I can understand that. It isn't in the Bible, right? But idolatry is, so we've already addressed that. But the other thing is that, well, sometimes it's actually celebrated inside of the church. We say, oh my gosh, she's such a great volunteer. You can always depend on her. She is just doing such a great job, right? And for the codependent, you're often weary, and worn out because you're working so hard for that outside validation, or you're pleasing others, and so you just can't say no, or you love being the rescuer, and so you sign yourself up for unhealthy friendships, for narcissistic relationships, and over again, you find yourself feeling empty, feeling used, and worn out. And I know this because for years, that's what happened to me until God took me on this long journey to discover that I could rest in His power, and His power was all that I needed. You know, as much as there is a God that loves you, there's an enemy of your soul that doesn't want you to find out about God's strength. Because see, the enemy knows that your power, your strength, even how strong you are, even what a noble person you are, there's a limit to your power. And he can create just the perfect storm in our life to make everything go crash. And perhaps it is that you're walking through your crash. Can I encourage you today that that is the beginning of something beautiful with God? Because he's getting ready to take you on a beautiful journey where you're depending on his strength. So, how do we begin to do this? Well, let's go ahead and get started. I want to give you three things today. How do we uncover this revealed power in our life? There's three ways that we're going to start with today. And the first way is with true intimacy with Jesus. The second way is whenever you feel those controlling tactics building up in you that you want to just reach back and have control. When things aren't going according to your plan, I want you to cease the tactic and to start to pray. And number three is that when you are praying and waiting for God to work things out, I want you to find patience. Not jump in and fix and rescue again, but to find patience by pressing into the Holy Spirit and understanding that these times of pause, where we're not stepping in and fixing, but resting in God's power, will actually begin to build our dependency upon God's power. So let's take that first point about intimacy with Jesus. In Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3, it says this: "All praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." Verse 4, "Even before he made the world, he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." What a beautiful, just beautiful verses. But one thing that I want you to see inside of those verses is this. Verse 4, "Even before he made the world, God loved you." Think about that. Even before you took one action, God loved you. In other words, his love for you is not based on your actions. His love for you is completely unconditional. And that's something that we have to learn. We have to unlearn our old patterns of love, our old prescriptions of love. You see, oftentimes codependency teaches us that love must be earned. That's what the world teaches us, right? And so because of that, that old prescription of love, right, interrupts our intimacy with God, because God's prescription for intimacy is unconditional love. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to be good. And you might be saying to yourself, "Well, I know that God loves me." Let me ask you a question. What does your prayer life say about your beliefs about God's love for you? Do you ever find yourself pulling away from having quiet time with God because you just don't feel worthy? I mean, I talk to so many women that tell me that because they don't have their quiet time in the morning, then they don't feel like they can come to God. Do you see how that mentality of earning intimacy or earning love interrupts your intimacy with God? Now, oftentimes the roots of the love systems in our life, how we relate to God, it is usually the root of that is how our parents interacted with us. And here's the thing, there are no perfect parents in this world. And so all of us have had imperfect parents. And we must understand that when we come to Christ, that we are adopted. And just like God told Abraham, you must leave your family. God is not saying to us necessarily, "Well, ditch your family." Of course not. But he is saying, leave the love system. Leave what maybe you've learned about intimacy with others. And come and let me teach you a new way to walk with me in love that you never have to earn, that it's just unconditional. You know, the Bible tells us we are born again, that we are born again. And so from that passage, from that that chapter in Scripture, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, we learn that coming to Christ, it's sort of like starting all over again. And so discovering that intimacy with Jesus, that authentic intimacy that he wants you to have, this is going to take time. But we must take responsibility over that. We must realize that while the roots of our upbringing drove and taught us a certain intimacy style, we must take responsibility and say, "I'm just going to believe that this is true, that God loves me, not based on my actions, but it's completely unconditional. And that means on the days when you've blown it, on the days where nobody is there for you, on the days where you've really messed up, instead of hiding, you want to run to Jesus and have that authentic intimacy. Well, I've got great news for you. The Nourish Bible Study Method is completely designed to help you develop that intimacy with Jesus. And so as you work through the book of Ephesians during the week, I want you to remember the goal of Nourish, that Nourish is all about connecting you with Jesus. You're approaching your Bible saying, Abba, Father, speak to my heart. Tell me what you have to say to me today. That Nourish is about that connection, okay? And so one of the most powerful things, in fact, it's like one of the keys to conquering codependency is to spend daily time with Jesus. Daily time. And that's exactly what the Nourish Method, walking through Ephesians, is going to accomplish for you. The second thing that I talked about is we're going to have to cease our controlling tactics and instead put whatever it is that we're worried about or concerned about inside of our prayer circle. Now, you know that the very first day of every week inside of the Nourish Method, you fill out your prayer sheet. And every day we go back to those prayer sheets to pray, and there are those three prayer circles. I want you to think about those prayer circles as what you are putting. I want you to put everything inside of there that is not working out, that you is just driving you crazy, that or things in your life that have weighed on you, that are stealing your joy, that are drawing your energy, the things in your life that you just can't control. I want you to cease your tactics of control, and I want you to put them inside of your prayer circles. Now, for the codependent, this can be kind of misleading because oftentimes we're trying to do really good things, but it's sort of like this. It's like we're trying to do God's work in our own power. And we have this agenda in our life, and it can be a good agenda, but we have this agenda, and our agenda is not working out, and we don't understand. So we step in and we try to help God with his plans. Am I speaking to anybody? I want to read our Nourish scripture and listen to what it says in verse 9. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Now, inside of this passage, and we'll be getting into the specific plan that Paul is referring to here in later lessons. But what I want you to see about this is that God is the ultimate planner, and he's a mysterious planner. And a lot of times, things don't work out according to our plan, even though they could be good plans, but they always work out according to God's plan. So I want to ask you a question. What in your life is not working out according to how you had planned? I want you to think about the disciples. When Jesus came and he communicated to them that he was not going to be setting up this earthly kingdom, right, and squashing the Romans. Well, this upset Peter and the disciples, right? Because wouldn't it be a great plan for God to come and just get rid of these Romans? After all, they were taking advantage of the Jewish people. But see, God had something greater. Think about Abraham. Abraham, when God came to him and said, "You are going to have many descendants." Well, it took a while for Abraham to have those descendants. And so Abraham, you know, stepped in with Hagar and tried to make God's plan happen. But God had something greater. Think about Joseph. God gave Joseph a dream, and then Joseph stepped in, right, and said, "Hey, brothers, I want to let you know, here's the deal. You're going to bow down to me." But it wasn't God's timing. Did you hear that passage? It talked about that at the right time, God will work everything out according to his plan. And then it talked about the fact that God's plan is mysterious. What has happened in your life and it didn't work out according to your plan? Will you right now begin to put all those things? Don't step in and try to fix. Don't step in and try to control, right? Don't be like Joseph or Abraham, but pause and pull back in prayer. You know, speaking of pause, oftentimes when God gives us a promise, we will then experience what I call a holy pause before we see it come to pass. Think about the Israelites. They were rescued from Egypt, but then they had to walk through the wilderness before they reached their promised land. And it's inside of the span of the wilderness that we can begin to wonder, "God, where are you? What is going on?" And we can become impatient. But what if the waiting season was there for us to rest in God's power, to build our God muscle? You know something? God often gives us a word followed by a wait to wake up our God muscle, depending on him, and to give him the glory. When we wait inside of our wilderness and we pull back and press into the Holy Spirit and pray, it increases our dependency on God's power. That's exactly what God said about the purpose of the wilderness, that it was that time, that season, to teach the Israelites about depending upon God's power. But that's not easy, especially for a codependent. We want to step in. We want to help God. We want to rescue people. We want to get her done. But in this study, for the next 11 weeks, I want you to cease, and I want you to pray, and I want you to find patience by pressing into the Holy Spirit. Listen to these verses as we close our last verses in our nurse scripture, and I'm starting from Ephesians 1:13b. "And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him." See, when we get a word from God and then we have this wait, right? Like the Bible, just that passage just told us that one day you and I will be in glory. But while we're here, like a holy thread connected to heaven, we have the Holy Spirit that can give us those glimpses of glory as we walk through the pain of a broken world that can often bruise and can often, you know, cause us to doubt God's goodness, right? But inside of that wait, what happens is, as we depend on God's power, God comes in some miraculous ways in our life that bring him glory. For the codependent, when we step in and when we fix and when we rescue, well, we get the glory for that. But inside of the wait, God can do the miraculous. And when we step back and wait on God, we see God come through in miraculous ways. And all we can say is, that was God that did that. That wasn't me. All Abraham could say when Sarah, at her old age, was able to conceive was that God did it. All Joseph could say at the end of his story, when he was promoted to second in power in the Egyptian nation, was God did this. And if you look at the story of Joseph, while he walked through all those trials, he continued to give God the glory and the praise. Inside of your waiting, it can be so tempting to step in and to take control, especially if our goals are good. But if we'll see these holy pauses as an opportunity to rest and depend on God's power, well, our God muscle can grow. And it is through not only the revealing of God's power to us, but when we put our faith in action, that's when we experience it. When we say, I'm going to trust you, God, we begin to experience his power, right? And when we experience his power on a day-to-day basis in our life, in the little and the big, in everything going on, we understand that God does a much better job of being God than we ever did, and that we can trust him. And when God is our God, we can stop being in bondage to, well, things like work. A lot of times codependents are workaholics, right? Or because we're doing everything in our own strength and we're taking care of everybody and everything. Am I speaking to anybody? And so because of that, we're weary and worn out. God doesn't want you in bondage. He wants you free. Or maybe it is that you're the rescuer and the fixer, and so you step into these unhealthy relationships over and over and over again. And this is not God's intention for relationship to you. It is not bonding with others. It is bondage. And God wants you to be free. He wants you to be free so that you can become who he created you to be. If you are a perfectionist, you are in bondage to a clean house, right? God doesn't want you to live that way. If you are a people pleaser, you cannot say no. You are in bondage to people, and God wants you free. Responding to life's challenges, you know, like up on when things go crazy in our life, right? By resting in God's revealed power releases us to live in the freedom and grace God intended. And so the first three ways that we're going to start with this is, number one, spend that daily time as you walk through the book of Ephesians and really focus on that relationship with him. Number two, anytime you are getting ready to control something that hasn't worked out according to your plan, will you trust God, cease control, and pray, put it in your prayer circle instead. And number three, that while you're waiting, see the waiting as a wonderful gift, an opportunity to build your God muscle as you depend on him. And here's the thing, many times what we don't realize, for example, with Joseph, it wasn't that God didn't want Joseph's dream to come to pass, right? It wasn't that God didn't want Abraham to have many descendants, but it must be done his way. You know, whatever it is that you're walking through, as you begin to walk through this book of Ephesians, I want to encourage you that you're beginning a beautiful journey of depending on God's power. And that is what brings us joy and peace and gives us that inner strength that no circumstance or no person could ever provide. So are you ready? Are you ready to trade those systems of survival that work when life is easy, but when things get difficult, they can leave us worn out and weary? Are you ready to trade that for the rest of God's supernatural power? Well, we're getting ready to start. So I'll see you next week as we begin with week 2 of Godly Girl Power. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. So that wraps up this episode from the Godly Girl Power series and today's podcast. And if you enjoyed today and you're interested in walking through the entire treasure devotion series on the book of Ephesians called Godly Girl Power, all you have to do is go to www.godlygirlpower.com to purchase this online class. And the best part about this is not only are you receiving a resource that will nourish your heart through the truth in God's Word, but the proceeds from this purchase will go directly back into supporting our efforts at Treasured Ministries. Thanks so much for helping us make a difference. Visit www.godlygirlpower.com. Have a great week, and I will talk to you in our next podcast. Bye-bye.